Hi everyone, this is filmmaker Steve Akmo, and you are listening to The Movie Raid.
It's time for The Movie Raid, and tonight's victim is actor-director Asif Akbar, The Commando, Astro, MR9, amongst other films. Hello!
Hey Mike, thanks for having me on.
So what new projects we got been up to this year? It's a new year, and I imagine there's a lot of new projects you're probably going to be working on, or anything that we can expect anytime earlier this year as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's, the 2021 is looking to be a very exciting year for me. I'm very blessed, and I gotta say, even with all the unfortunate events in 2020, been a pretty exciting year as well. Hoping to top that this year. I mean, last year, I was able to still, within the pandemic, complete two films. My daughter was born, my firstborn, so in May. So it's been a pretty eventful year. I'm looking forward to seeing what 2021 holds.
Now, are you directing, or are you going to do a mixture between acting and directing, or are you focusing on directing at this point?
I'm actually going to be focusing more on directing this year and producing. With acting, I've started off acting and earlier on in my career. That kind of got me through the doors in the business, and that's what I actually wanted to do in the beginning. As far back as I can remember, when I was 2-3 years old, that's when I knew I wanted to be in the movie business, and I didn't know how, but for me, like everyone else, I'm sure most people, they want to be an actor or act in front of the camera and be in the show. But as I grew older and my conception changed about how films are really made, I've seen that, it's the director that gets to really tell his story and his vision, and everyone else works to accomplish that vision. Naturally, I've always kind of been better at that. When I do any kind of in front of the camera performances or acting now, it's mainly just for fun or because I've had the experience, but my forte is really in directing and producing and writing at the moment.
Sometimes people just get burnt out on doing one profession, and some people just want to expand to a potential as well, because it helps out in many different ways, especially in the film industry, and having to even help themselves, not just specifically in terms of finance, but to help themselves to grow as that artist, have those abilities, and it's okay to not do acting as much or even at all, because then you discover new things that maybe you just want to be in this territory, expand where can you go from there aside from what you've already experienced as an actor.
Absolutely, and that's the other thing, is people only see the actors, and then they hear about the directors and producers and a lot of the key roles that go into making a movie, but people don't realize that there's so much more. There's hundreds of different positions and roles that are playing behind the scenes to make a full picture come alive, and there's nothing wrong at all with wanting to be an editor or a director of photography or a costume designer, production designer. These are all positions and jobs that are very key elements in making a movie, and a lot of people go into even film school or come out to LA to be an actor, and they start to see the reality that you have to be multi-talented and diverse into this business to be able to be a part of it. You can't just go on one track. That's what you'll see nowadays. A director has to also be a writer, has to somewhat be a producer. You can't just be a director and expect people to hand you jobs. Same thing with actors. You see a lot of actors becoming producers, writers, making their own content. Film school, you'll see a lot of it going into film school. When I went to film school a long time ago in 2007, at that time, there was a statistic that we were told that film schools around the country and the U.S. had the highest rate of dropouts, even more than medical schools and law schools, because most students went in with the idea that it was all the glitz and glamour and they were going to go in, make movies and become a big director or a big writer. Once they get in there, they realize how much work it really is and how much you have to sacrifice and struggle to even be on the track. That's when people sometimes, decide to just drop out. It's not for them. They figure out, that's not what they want to do. And they see that it's really hard work. And it's not just hard work. It takes a lot of dedication, time, commitments. It's not easy. And I've seen people get it overnight, but then they can easily lose it overnight. It takes a lot of discipline and growth to really figure out what you really want to do after you've had trials and errors. Like, even for myself, I knew I wanted to be a filmmaker, but I've stabbed my feet into almost every sector of the business, from all types of crew jobs. I've even worked with a DP, PA, I mean, editor, a VFX artist during production, post-production, every position in order to kind of understand what each position goes through. And then, you know, naturally I rose up to directing. But just like that, I would recommend everyone at least trying out every element of the business. Even for myself, I had experience on the other side of filmmaking, which is the sales and marketing and distribution, which is a big, big factor that we all have to consider as filmmakers before we even write the script or before we even make the movie, you know. And sometimes, in most cases, actually, I would say people tend to think in reverse, where they think, oh, I'm just going to make the movie my way and go out and sell it, and it's going to be so good, people are going to hit on it, chase me down for it. Well, that's not the case. You have to always think about the two major reasons you're making the movie, and that is for distribution and your audience. If you don't think about the distributors and the audience that you're making the movie for, then you're going to have the toughest time getting your movie out there and selling it, getting the deal you want to get. So it's very important to understand all aspects of it, and especially where your movie's going to end up and how it's going to end up there and who you need to make it for, you know. So it's all trials and errors. You learn as you go. But for me, I was always told when I was starting off that it takes you at least 10 years to be able to really grasp and understand what you're getting yourself into. And if you can survive in the industry for at least 10 years struggling with successes and failures, and after the 10-year mark, you should be okay, and you find a place for yourself. And I've seen that to be true. I've been in the business now for more than 10 years, 15 years and plus. So it's true. It's right around the 10-year mark is when I started to get more a steady or established position in, within the industry of being where I am.
Do you think time is a mirror of a factor if an artist in the indie world doesn't produce something to benefit themselves, having less actions on of the appeal itself of the project for themselves? Do you think it becomes more of the appeal aspect and what it really is supposed to be?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it evolves throughout time, and people's and filmmakers' intentions and motives also change. I mean, people themselves change through an experience of making a movie. I mean, it's so incredible of what we go through when we make a film. Doesn't matter if it takes 2 months or 2 years to make it. Once you start and you finish a film all the way through, it's a journey where you get to know yourself better, you get to know what, you know, with who you're working with, you get to know people, and you grow. And by the end of it, you know, your appeal, your motivation, your ideas, they can all change. You can become a different person even at the end of that journey of finishing a movie. And that's what's so, for me, that's encouraging and motivational to keep getting better and doing more challenging work, because I tend to build myself. And in the beginning, even with my own films, I used to kind of make them for what I wanted. The appeal was what I'm looking for. But as I grew more in the business, I realized that it's not really about me all the time. Yeah, I have to conceive the idea and put it out there and present it to the audience. But at the end of the day, I have to know what the audience's appeal is going to be for this film and this story. If I can't serve that, you know, to the audience's needs, then I'm not going to have a long career.
All these changes as well, as you grow as an artist and different productions and different concepts and everything in general, do you feel like you have to feel to be in constant rather than constantly rapid with the change itself? Meaning that, do you feel like you have to stay in constant change with yourself, or do you think that should change not be as affected as you go into all these different areas?
No, I believe, and I know from experience, you have to be open to change and adapt as you go as a filmmaker, evolve with it. I mean, right now, it's hard to keep up, but we have to. Otherwise, you fall behind with the technology and the markets changing every, you know, so often, like a year, 6 months even sometimes, 2 years, in a couple years, the technology changes, audiences' minds change, they want something different. Like right now, we can't make a movie in the same style as we used to make them in the 90s or 2000 or even from 5 years ago. I mean, the stories have to evolve, the styles of filmmaking, cinematography, even acting, everything has to evolve. And be more relatable to the audience for this time today. And that's what I meant, is like, it's changing so fast. We're in a fast-paced world now, where as filmmakers, we have to also keep in touch with the changes in the audience and to adapt with it. Even when we're making a movie, sometimes you have a screen that you set on, you wrote it for 6 months and that's that lot, and you think it's brilliant, but then you go to shoot it, things have to change, and you have to be able to adapt to those changes and not be tied in to the original ideas, because that original idea may have been good 6 months ago, but now it's not going to work, or 6 months in the future it may not work, because by the time the movie comes out, the world could be changed again. Perfect example, you know, the pandemic we're going on right now. It's changed the audience and what they want and what they don't. And, you know, you have to be very contemporary.
One of the bigger factors as well, because when the audience change, which is pretty frequent, because a lot of filmmakers want to say, oh, what do they want? Blood, gore, this, that. Well, you're focusing on, like, mainly on sub-trends, always usually sells in a movie. But at the same time, you know, the audience wants something much bigger. It's always in high demand. It's always been that way. But oftentimes, they just want to shift just what they like, not what they truly want. Like, it's always different depending on what the genre that you're on. And the effect itself, when the audience change, especially when you're working on a new project, do you think that it actually affects you a little bit when you're working on a new project? Do you think that might actually change at the same time while you're doing it too?
Sure, it affects it for sure. I mean, with any change, but sometimes it's good change. And, you know, I accept it to be for the better, because like I said, now I make my movies for the audience. And that's my primary target and focus, is to understand and try to understand what the audience wants, or not even in the present, but what the audience will want in the future. Sometimes you'll get lucky with the lightning in the bottle of a story or a movie which is timeless. There are movies like that. I mean, even like, for example, Terminator 2. Right now, you watch that movie today, it's still timeless, even though it's a different era, different, you know, in the 90s without the technology we have today. It was still advanced for its time. Same thing with Back to the Future. I mean, some of these films, Titanic, it's an old 1912 story, but it still plays very well today. It's timeless. These are movies where, you know, people can watch it 50 years down the road and still be entertained as much or more. My ultimate goal is to make a movie like that, make a timely piece where it doesn't matter 20 years, 30 years from now, people will still watch it the same way. But those are, you know, like the 100,000. It's definitely, that's my goal, to get there. But for now, I need to serve the audience for what they want now.
Do you think efficiency becomes accountable if the artist delivers on results, or do you think it's actually applied to it if it achieves expectations?
I think it's a double-edged sword. It goes both ways. There's some artists and actors, directors that are known for a certain style or delivering certain things to their audience, and if they shift away from it and try something new, it could be either the kiss of death, or it could be a whole new side, you know, a new track to their career. In most cases, people get used to a person for what they are, they start off with, or what they become a hit with. I mean, even an example like Sylvester Stallone, who is known to be an action star, right? If you have him do comedy, people are not going to, you know, really accept it. They want to see him play the big tough guy. Can't be like a romantic comedy type of guy. Same thing with a lot of these actors today. You'll see they get typecast. Directors get typecast. It's hard to sometimes get out of that once you've been typecast, even with the people that are playing superheroes, the actors that play superheroes. Sometimes it's a blessing, and sometimes it could be the kiss of death, where even Christopher Reeves back in the day when he was Superman, people saw him as Superman. They couldn't see him playing any other roles, and he was a great actor. He did many other movies, but you always saw him as Superman. And then once he got into the wheelchair, he was paralyzed, then he was starting to play paralyzed characters that fit. People were now used to seeing him in, because now obviously they can't look at him and see him as Superman. But before that, when he was walking around, everyone saw him as Superman. And that was kind of a stigma for him. And I know a lot of people don't like that. I never wanted to be a typecast filmmaker. And that's why you'll see I do all kinds of genres, you know, and I try to adapt to every genre accordingly.
Well, go ahead and plug in any websites or any projects that we can check out right now.
Yeah, I mean, I have movies on Amazon, Tubi TV. There's Tubi. You can see Astro for free. It's on Tubi on free. If you don't have Amazon Prime, you can look at my IMDb. See Fakbar on IMDb. I'm the first one. And like I said, this year, I'm very excited for the films I have coming out this year because time went, I've evolved as a filmmaker. I've adapted to, obviously, doing bigger and better projects, but at the same time, like for me, I like to move on. And, sometimes I don't even watch some of my own movies after they come out because I just look for the future. And when I watch my own movies, even going back, it just takes me back to those times when I was making those. Mentally, I feel, weird. It's very weird for me to watch my own movies. So I try to always move forward and look at the new stuff coming out because that's what represents me as a filmmaker. Now, I mean, you're only as good as your last work, right? And that goes with most actors and directors. So I try to challenge myself and make something bigger and better that I haven't done before. So just get better with time.
And there you have it, everybody. That is actor-director Asif Akbar.
Thank you, Mike.